Good morning.
Good morning.
Everybody all right today?
Yes.
All good. I see many visitors today. Thank you. I'm not sure what the occasion is. I see people here from Kansas City, St. Clair Shores, Plymouth, someone all the way from Washington, Michigan. You'll recognize them when you see them. I'm sorry there's no bulletins today. Actually, we had an early deadline because of Juneteenth, so I had something finished and ready for Tuesday, and it was sent in, but they're going to arrive bright and early Monday morning. So you'll have two bulletins to read, if you care to, next week, hopefully. Lots going on this morning. It's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the dads. We'll do a blessing at the end of Mass, as is our custom, and the Miles, Peter and Mary Jo, are celebrating their 22nd wedding anniversary. How many? I made that up. How many years?
40 today.
40 today. So I'm just giving you the agenda and the preview, so when you think Mass is going to be 48 minutes longer, you'll know why. Again, there is a reception after Mass this morning so that we can greet one another. I will be here next Sunday, next weekend, but again, as I've been mentioning, we're doing this farewell, me to you and you to me, this week, because next week will be the healing Mass at the end of the month, and it just doesn't work on Saturday because there'll be anywhere from 6 to 20 people here to be prayed with next week. So really, again, let me thank you, maybe in anticipation, as Philandus Casey would say, thank God ahead of time. Many of you have already had Masses said for me and whatnot, and there's been many cards left last evening. I'm very grateful. I don't know that I'm going to write personal notes. I'll do the best I can. You know, half my stuff is packed right now. I have no idea where it is. So I will put a general thank you in the bulletin next weekend and follow up on anything more pertinent. But I thank you from my heart. One more various thought before I go on. Thank you for so many of you have taken books. There's still quite a few books there. There's just as many still packed up, and others will be donated to Jane. Where's Alex taking them? He's got a chapel there. He's kind of building up a library there, and we're sending some to a new addiction center over on Stevenson Highway, I think it is. Anyways, there's new items back there. Humorously enough, I put a couple of, flower pot bowls or bowls back there. Somebody started putting in donations. But that's okay with me. I didn't particularly focus on the readings today, but let me just take a verse here, a couple of verses. Fear no one. Now take note that Jesus is really talking to the 12. But in some manner and form, we are the 12 today as the disciples of Jesus. Now when Jesus says, fear no one, he doesn't mean, I'm not taking anything from anybody. Jesus knows human emotion. He knows fear. He knew fear. Father, if this cup can pass me by. He's calling and challenging us to stand strong in faith, even in the most uncertain of times. And then the next verse, nothing is concealed that will not be revealed, no secret that will not be made known. I understand that to mean he's talking about the mysteries of God. He's not talking about your personal secrets. There's no secrets to God. He's not talking about somebody telling stories on you. If someone comes up and tells you what your sins are, that seems important to say today, because I think for some people it can be a scary verse. We all have secret things, and maybe the better word is private things. Some things are held in the soul. But if you have secrets, give them to the Lord. Don't drag them around. Now, I suppose for a little comic relief, do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. God loves little birds. But for all those birds, he loves you even more, and he'll never stop. Do not be afraid. There is, of course, no last word, preaching or teaching or proclaiming the word of God, as it is equally true in the practice of living out that word in our daily lives. The word is dull and impotent if all we do is hear it and do not live it. The challenge is to hear the word. The word listen, to listen is to obey, to act on the word that we hear. This side of heavenly glory, there's no neatly wrapped conclusion or final word on the mystery and the revelation of God in Christ. The mystery and the truth of that love of God has no beginning and no end, the Alpha and the Omega. And as I just read in a little piece this morning, as wearisome as the world is right now, and it's very wearisome, is it not? You're praying for that, right? Let's all try to be praying in the same direction, lifting up to the Lord all the darknesses and oppressions and wars and price of gas and all the rest. Even with all of that, the world is still moving toward and being drawn to a greater good. The world has never, ever been in a better place than it is right now. Unbelievable, right? Why? Because God's in the world. And God is that essence of love that draws all things to himself. Desjardins, Jesuit, talked about that, as did many others. So as wearisome as this time can be, and it is wearisome, all things are being drawn to the good. That's why it's so important that we're gathered here as believing and acting Christians, that the love of God in your life is not just for you, that you're sharing it and bringing it out of this building and into the world. There are, of course, core movements and realities of God that are universally evident and sustaining for those who seek the life of God. And it's obvious, very sad, not all people want to seek God, or to seek the truth, ultimately, of the divine love of God. So I'll take this opportunity today, this second to last. I will be here next weekend and up through Monday and Tuesday of next week, and however long it takes me to get the rest of my stuff out of the rectory. I'll just share with you some of those things that I hold most dear as a person, as a priest, as a man, and a Christian. You've probably heard these things a couple times before. But I don't think anyone can hear too often how much God loves you. I always liked it, but I really didn't like it all that much when I was on a bumper sticker on a car. It needs to be a little deeper in us, right? It's a nice reminder, but if it's not on the inside, you forget it as soon as the coffee's ready. Let me be obvious, God is love. God is love incarnate in the person and the life of the Lord Jesus. God is that unchanging essence of love, not a quality, not a characteristic of God. God is an essence of love now present in the world through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Trinity of God is a pure relationship of three. I wish I had more time to read or find such things to read, but I've heard from several places and read in different places, even in the scientific world, scientists and astrophysicists, those kinds of people are finding very clearly there is a whole theory, there's a whole movement of three in the universe. Three is a relational number. So God is a relationship of three in an endless flow of love, each to the other, Father to the Son, Son to the Spirit, and that water wheel that flows around, and then that love of God throws through the Son into the Spirit and into ourselves, which is part of the dynamic, if you will, that's drawing the world closer more and more to the greater good, messy as the journey is. It's an unending flow of love. It's a flow of giving and receiving. It's another principle. God is not God unless God is giving the divine nature, because it is the nature of love to give itself. So there is that endless flow of giving and receiving. Both are equally important. How many times has someone tried to give you a gift, even a hug? Oh, no, you shouldn't have. Happens all the time. But as that love flows between and among the Trinity, it flows equally into the world. That flow of love is the nature and the meaning of our existence as human beings. Nobody can live a healthy life all by themselves. No one's happy without love. That's the essence and the life of God, and the beauty and the truth and the light of the person of Christ. The more freely we can trust and allow this endless flow of giving and receiving into ourselves and through us to others, the more we're going to know and live with God. That's why Jesus says, "I give you my peace," not the peace of the world, but my peace, the unending and everlasting truth of this love and joy that draws us to the divine nature. You certainly are aware that the basic kerygma, the basic proclamation of Christianity, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. It reminds me of the reality of the almighty nature of God. And I usually say at this time, I can still remember second grade because I went through it twice. Sister Mary Faith, St. Mary's of Redford, when she talked about Almighty God, we sat up straight, we straightened our ties and stopped chewing the gum that shouldn't have been in our mouth in the first place. You remember those days? Because she talked about Almighty God, and he's omnipotent and omniscient, and he knows all things and he's all powerful. Well, that means something to a second grader. But then I learned that the almighty nature of God is unlimited, unconditional, freely given, self-surrender. God is all-giving. God gives all that God is, so that the life of the Father is poured into the life of the Son, incarnate through the womb of the Virgin Mary, and now in you and me, by the power, the light, and the truth of the Holy Spirit. We experience this surrender by the endless, countless examples of human compassion. I don't remember the story exactly, but something, sorry to say, tragic and simple. Wasn't it just a couple days, there were two young men that fell or jumped off a pier in Lake Michigan? And Grand Rapids here too, right? Yeah, Jenny. Am I right? Can I see? I just took eye drops. I can't even see the front row. We see those examples, and I don't remember, was there two or three that drowned? Because the one was drowning and two jumped in to save them and they drowned. That's self-surrender. They were trying to save their friend. God bless them. And there's countless examples like that. If we're doing that as human beings, because that nature is in us by the nature of the divine who is already self-surrendering. As I've said so many times through the years, redemption ultimately is the singular act of the Lord's dying and rising on the cross that we fruitfully celebrate each Holy Week, Good Friday, the Easter Vigil, and Easter Sunday. So that singular act, you are already redeemed. Your place in heaven has already been made secure. And as we equally said, now, day by day, we're working out our salvation, the ups and downs, the ins and outs, getting up when we fall down, healing after we fail, forgiving after we are harmed. Those are the things that we work out day by day to find ourselves in Christ, and equally important, to find Christ in ourselves and others. Sin is a symptom. God did not create sin. And I know it's astonishing to say, and I suspect it'll be confusing to some people, but it's very clear from what's her name? Julian of Norwich. 14th century mystic. And she really questioned in Revelations of Love, divine love. She didn't understand sin. And she kept asking God, well, if you're so wonderful and beautiful and God, why do we have sin? And part of the answer to that, she came to, got the revelation, was that to God, there is no substance to sin. Huh? After all we've learned in Catholic school all these years, there's no substance to sin. For God, there's no substance to sin. God did not create sin. There's obviously no sin in God. The substance of sin is the pain it causes, the separation, the division, the chaos, the deception, the lies. And we suffer those things, and they weigh on us, and they break us apart. That's why it's still okay to be human. God thought it was so cool, he'd become one like us in all things but sin. So you'll certainly understand that forgiveness is a non-negotiable in the Christian life, or can I say, in human living. We had this reading just last week from Paul. While we were helpless, sinners, dead in sin, God graciously and willingly forgave us and made us his own. As we are now forgiven, we have to forgive. I'm not saying it's easy. But when we bind ourselves and others in the bondage of unforgiveness, we block ourselves and the other from the freedom and the grace of the peace that God intends for us, gained for us in the dying and the rising of Jesus. That gift of grace is pure. It's a gift, but it has to be accepted and received. How many people have their baptismal candle in the bottom drawer of their dresser that they haven't seen in 48 years? I'm not saying you have to keep it on the kitchen table every day, but the reality of love just can't be, well, yeah, I went to church and I got Jesus. Okay, what are you doing with him? Don't put him in the bottom drawer, okay? But we have to accept and allow, trust that flow of love from God unendingly so that we can be agents of that love for the church and for the world. And if we were to live like that, and I know you are, I've been here 20, I'm probably the longest priest that's been here. I know I'm not the tallest. 21 years. Wow, I was younger when I got here. So are you. Gratitude is the root of Christian prayer. Gratitude creates bonds of love between God and ourselves and others. Gratitude grows with faith and trust, grounded in mature prayer. I think I said this at the Daily Mass earlier this week. How's your spiritual life going? Is your spiritual life and your spiritual, are they working for you? You know, we get into habits with our prayer, and I know I'm saying the same prayers I've been saying for 5 or 20 or 25 years. Pay attention to that. Are you praying with gratitude? We can beg God every day, but if we're begging God, then we better be grateful, because gratitude really, more and more, you hear it in any number of books, even medical and psychological books, gratitude is the ground of happy living. It's for good mental, emotional, and psychological health. Gratitude keeps us alive in love. It heals bitterness. It weakens loneliness. It defeats shame and guilt. Wow, that's a tall order. Be grateful for all the trouble in life. You didn't pay a penny for it, but you better pay your taxes when it's that time. Let God love you. If you let God love you, you'll learn to love yourself. If you learn to love yourself, you'll be drawn to others naturally, and others will naturally be drawn to you, creating a lively experience and the awareness of the presence of God. Perfection is a lie. As I always say, any perfect people here, please stand. I always end up being the only one standing. The only perfect person that ever lived was Jesus, the Son of God, and they killed him because he was too much light for a dark world. Perfection, I think, comes emotionally, psychologically, control, doubt, fear, because we've been criticized or shamed or we've had negative things. And then we make vows and lies to ourselves. I'll never do that again. I'll never talk to that person again. I'll never do that. I'll be perfect. So no one can complain anything about me. It's a lie. And sometimes it's pushed by the evil one or our own egos against our weaknesses and fears that create doubt in our faith, fear of love, or mistrust in hope. God loves you no matter how you are. Your sins aren't bothering God. They're bothering you. And that's a good thing. So that we can be reminded of our deeper, truer self in God through the redemption and healing that Christ has gained for us. I'm filled with gratitude, really, for the privilege of so many years of ministry. I'm not a perfect person. I'm not a perfect priest. But I put my heart and soul and most of my energy into these 42 years serving with great joy and hope the Word of God and the sacraments of the Church. I'd do it again. I'm grateful to God, and I'm grateful to all of you. I've tried to do the best I can to the best of my ability. I'm astonished, really. From Plymouth, my sister-in-law Kathy's here. She went to St. Mary's. She was class ahead of me. I should have been in that class, but again, I tripped in second grade and had to do it again. And, you know, I've known her for 45 or something years. You know, I never would have imagined all the things that God has asked me to do and all the things that God has accomplished through me, healing and deliverance ministries. People have been healed. And I'm not going to say, I did it. Deborah Tourville, we've worked together for all these years. It's amazing to me. It's amazing, and I'm sorry to have to leave the ministry. We'll see what the months ahead bring. Never doubt that God is active and present in the world and in you. Every day I try to give God a new yes. You're enough just as you are. But if you're wondering where or how God is active in your life, give God a yes every day. Lord, whatever you got for me to do today, I give you my yes. God can use you, but you have to say, okay. Don't just say your prayers, say, well, I got that done, now I got to do the next thing. The next thing is bring Jesus along. I have to thank the staff. I'll do a little bit of this next week, but really I don't know what that's going to be just yet. I thank the staff, and so many others have helped to sustain and enrich our parish life. Debbie Tourville really is a gift from God. For all the people that she's touched in various ministries, as business manager, bookkeeper, manager of the office, healing and prayer and deliverance ministries, the retreat, that, you know, that inner healing retreat was her idea 20 whatever years ago. Her good friend, Father Benno, God rest his soul. And that's borne so many fruits. Jenny's here. I told you that story half a dozen times. She was at that inner healing retreat 10 years ago, and she had a grave arthritis. It was in bad. She was a school, grade school teacher. Still are, right?
Just retired.
Oh, maybe it's time for me to sit down. And she had that, and she came to the retreat. And I don't remember exactly, Jenny, and then your mom said, well, you know, they also have that healing mass. And she came and gone. She went back. The doctors checked her blood work. They said, well, what'd you do? What are you taking? Her blood was completely clean. Am I right? How are you feeling? Praise God. Hey. That's only one of many. We've had doctors and psychologists and all kinds of other people on that retreat, and they've all written thank you notes and graces for the work that God did. And Debbie was a big part of that, along with, again, leading the adult faith formation, the Ignatian exercises, the book group. That's been a great group, and I'm pretty sure she's going to do it again next year. We'll continue that, or she'll continue it. And I would be remiss if I didn't offer that. Cheryl and Carl and Jim and Alex are equally competent and hardworking in their various roles. You can be confident of the stability of our parish under their care. Please do not lose hope. This next year is a temporary bridge to what the reconstruction of the parishes will bring by July of 2027. There's a letter from the Archbishop again today if you'd like to take one. It says that as of April next year, these assignments will start coming out and they'll begin to go into process in July of next year. So again, we don't know exactly what that's going to be, but please don't waste your time and your energy in fear and doubt. I don't have enough time to tell you the interesting rumors that I've heard that we're closing and the amount of money we're going to get for the property. Don't be dumb. Don't be dumb, okay? God's still in charge. I understand it's a scary and uncertain time. But let me say, I mentioned this at the 4 o'clock yesterday. As of the first Sunday of July, you're going to have a different priest. He's either going to be Father Paul from St. Mary's, probably Father Jude. I can't say his last name. It's about this long. One of those priests will be here. Pray for the priest, please. Pray for the priest. I had emails this week. Why is this happening? It's like, where have you been? This has been going on for 20 years. Why is this happening? There's not enough priests. Pray for the priest. Father Paul has got four masses at St. Mary's. He says a mass at Mary Magdalene. He does five masses during the week, and he goes to say another mass over at Mary Magdalene. Something has to fall. Some of these priests are doing 4 and 5 weekends, masses on a weekend. So we had our intercessory group on Thursday with our holy hour that we've been doing for 5 or 7 years, and there were a lot of great prophecies. We've had a lot of words through that. And they've been very affirming and positive. The Lord has blessed St. Vincent Ferrer Parish, which means you, in endless ways for all the things we've been through. Pray for the priest. Pray for good worship. If we end up at a different site, still pray for the priest. Whatever you do, don't go nowhere. I still have reasonable hope, strong hope, that this parish will remain open, ideally, because there's 3 or 4 other parishes in this area. Hopefully, they'll conglomerate into one, and I believe we're the strongest site. Now, I realize I'm on video here, so, well, what do you mean you think you're the strongest one? Here comes the rumors. You say your prayers. If you're not praying, then you surrender your freedom to complain. Be in touch. Know what's going on. You still have an opportunity online. If you need help, call Cheryl at the parish office. If you want to send more information or positive information about the parish, you can still do that on the surveys that are still available. Well, I guess this is how I ended yesterday. As Forrest Gump famously said, that's all I'm going to say about that.